Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
Well, I know a little girl who likes to keep her tail up high. You know she's got a weapon and a method to make you cry. Because she flows like a beaver, she sings like a...
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Stripes is the name of an energetic rock outfit from Cavan, Ireland. Their ferocious live shows have drawn praise from British rock's elder statesmen like Paul Weller of The Jam and Jeff Beck, as well as somewhat younger groups like the Arctic Monkeys, for whom the Stripes have been opening on tour. The band's debut album, Snapshot, sold more than 200,000 copies in 2 weeks after it was released overseas. It's out here in the States just now, and did I mention that the oldest member of the band is 18? The Stripes are here in the studio with a song called Blue Collar Jane. The Stripes from Ireland, live in the Soundcheck studio with their song Blue Collar Jane, which appears on their album called Snapshot. Let me introduce you to the members of The Stripes. On lead vocals, Ross Farley. On guitar, Josh McClory. On bass, it's Pete O'Hanlon. And behind our drum kit, Evan Walsh. Guys, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks very much.
I told you guys before we went on the air that I've actually been hearing Blue Collar Jane in my gym.
Yes.
It's actually good. Yeah. Kind of a good piece to work out to.
There you go.
Does blue collar mean the same thing in Ireland that it means here?
Yeah, like working class.
Working class, yeah, okay. Yeah. Because there is a real kind of lunch pail blue collar sound to the rock and roll that you guys play.
Yeah, well, it's like no nonsense. Yeah. Because it's basically just rhythm and blues. Rock and roll sort of inspired a lot of punk influences in it as well. So that's just basically, it's just what we've always, you know, been into and drawn to, so... That's what we try to do.
Right. And so When you guys look out, and I know you just got, you know, you've done the South by Southwest thing. Yeah. What did you do, like a dozen shows in 5 days?
Or like that.
Six or seven in 2 days.
In 2 days?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that experience like?
Pretty good, yeah. It was enjoyable. It was hard work, you know, like
you're
it was
physically,
tiring.
Physically just destroyed by the end of each day. But
we felt, you know, the crowds were great and we had a good time.
Right.
Looking back on it.
So you guys are getting like a whirlwind tour of America here, aren't you?
Yeah, this is the first proper tour in America. We were over in January for about 8 days. We did 4 shows just in a couple of cities. And this is the first proper tour. So we started out in Nashville, and then we did Memphis, and then we went on and did South By, and now we're in New York.
Yeah, well, and glad to have you here. So when you look out at that audience, whether it's here in America, back home in Ireland, wherever, are you seeing guys, are you seeing teenagers, or are you seeing people my age?
Well, it's kind of, it's a nice kind of mixture, because, I mean, you want to appeal to as many people as you can, and in England, the way it's kind of taken off in England, we did a 10-day tour in February, which was completely sold out in the main. And you'd find that the first, you know, 9 or 10 rows are all just teenagers, just pretty much boys and girls our age, just really enjoying themselves and, you know, doing what you should do at gigs, you know, pogoing and getting up on each other's shoulders and fights a few times. But and then as it kind of goes back, then you might get, you know, just a kind of older mix of people and stuff like that who just, you know, whoever wants to come along and enjoy it, you know, by all means do.
But, you know, most people your age wouldn't... This might be the first time they're hearing something like this,
I guess. Yeah, because I suppose a lot of people, you know, a lot of 15, 16-year-olds, that's the age when people start getting into bands for the first time. That's when you start finding your bands that, you know, you kind of decide, oh, yeah, these mean something to me for whatever reason. So I think they're in their first kind of spate of, you know, getting into bands and stuff like that. So it'd be nice to think we were their introduction to, you know, rhythm and blues.
And rock and
roll. Early rock and roll stuff.
So how did you guys at 15 and 16 get into those bands? I mean, like early Stones the Kinks and Yardbirds and
stuff.
It was
just something we grew up around, but really. All our parents were musical, they were all in bands, or, you know, there's always music around our house, but particularly Ev's house, his parents' record collection was just full of bands like the Stones and the Yardbirds and the Beatles and just guitar bands and rock and roll in general. We also spent a lot of time, myself, Pete, and I've obviously spent a lot of time in Evan's house growing up.
I spent a lot of time in my house.
You spent a lot of time in your house, man. And we were just exposed to that music, and it's just something we've always loved, and it was what we always played growing up. So, you know, when we hung out together, we play music together, and that's how it really started. And
we get a lot of, like, as we got older, we got very heavily into a lot of pub rock and early punk stuff.
Define older.
As we got 14. Into our teenage years, you know, as we got to maybe 14, 15,
and got into bands ourselves.
And got into, like, you know, got very heavily into pub rock and stuff like that, which was a big part of my record collection. So, like, Dr. Feelgood, Rock Pile, Eddie and the Hot Rods,
Elvis Costello,
Dave Edmonds, and then as well, like, Schwartz,
and then people like, you know, Johnny Thunders as well, stuff like that.
We're speaking with the members of The Stripes, the Irish band who are here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Their album is called Snapshot. They are playing here in New York tomorrow at the Bowery Ballroom and playing for us here in the studio today. Ross, Evan mentions, like, the pub rock thing. You sing a version of a Nick Lowe song, actually one of my favorite old Nick Lowe songs, Heart of the City.
Yeah.
As far as you know, has Nick heard your version?
I think we've sent it in an email somewhere.
Chris Difford from Squeeze
is on our management team,
which is brilliant. Yeah,
very nice.
We work with him a lot, so... He knows Nick, and I think he sent it off to Nick. Okay. Haven't heard a response,
reply,
but we've heard he doesn't really do emails.
So if you're out there, Nick.
He's been here, he is definitely, you could see that he is not an email kind of guy.
Yeah.
He likes the...
Likes the old telephone.
Likes his old beat-up guitar.
We're huge
Nick fans.
Good. Well, you guys do a really convincing version of Heart of the City on the record. But, of course, there's lots of your own songs, including this next one called What a Shame. Who writes? I mean, is it a collaborative writing process?
I suppose the basic tune mainly is me.
Comes from Josh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the lyrics and the melody and that on an acoustic or whatever, and then we sort of all arrange it electrically.
And then it becomes a sort of a just four-way musical collaboration about, you know, arrangements and how to go about doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, and that happens, Evan, in your house?
Yeah, my bedroom still does, always has.
That's where the magic happens.
Always has, and will do for the foreseeable future.
All right. Well, let's make some magic happen here in the Soundcheck studio.
All right.
The band is The Stripes, a young band out of Ireland, touring through the States. They've done the South by Southwest Festival, and now they're here in our New York studio, and this song is called What a Shame.
Pete forgot his bass. Take two.
They liked the way that he spoke. They flew him out of the sticks and put him up in the smoke. They gave him chocolate and cheese. They told him he was the next young son to some young life. Straight from the chest, the way he spat at the mic, his lyrics couldn't be fresher. They say he'd be a superstar if he could handle the pressure. After they put it to paper, they took him to see and told him just a couple changes that they wanted to see. Oh, what a shame, but it's easy, can't you see? Oh, what a shame that they'll never let you be. They said his hair would be better if he colored it black, and that he wouldn't sign a sergeant if he could tone it all back. They dressed him up in a craze to make him look pretty. They said the kids would think if he looked like he came from the city. They listened back to his guts, his music was tight, but if he changed a couple lyrics in the chorus, it might sound fresher than ever. A radio hit, and all the ladies were singing when they get into the pit. Oh, what a shame, but it's easy, can't you see? Oh, what a shame.
Stripes, Irish band that can stop on a dime, as they just demonstrated with that performance of What a Shame. It appears on their album called Snapshot. The Stripes are playing tomorrow here in New York at the Bowery Ballroom, and they're playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today, St. Patrick's Day in New York. What better place for an Irish band to be than here in our Soundcheck studio? Let's hear another song from The Stripes. This is called Mystery Man.
To my eyes, well, you don't know my name, and I ain't gonna tell you, cause it ain't my game. I got you in the palm of my hand. Oh baby, I gonna be your mystery man. Oh baby, I ain't trying to fill you with doubt, but I'm lazy, so you just gotta figure me out. Well, you don't know my name, and I ain't gonna tell you, cause it ain't my game. I got you in the palm of my hand. Oh baby, I'm gonna be your mystery man. We'll be right back.
The Stripes with a song called Mystery Man from their album Snapshot. That's a live performance here on Soundcheck. Once again, Ross Farley singing, playing harmonica, Josh McClory on guitar, Pete O'Hanlon on bass, Evan Walsh behind the drums. I wouldn't have thought it possible, but I think that version of Mystery Man might even be faster than the one that's on the record.
Probably. Oh, yeah, the one on the record's probably quite slow. Quite tame.
That's slow in comparison.
So is that a result of touring? You know, the band gets tighter and the songs get faster?
I think it's just kind of generally what happens. And what we found...
Youth.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, we found, like, listening to a lot of live recordings of bands we're into, that generally the live recordings...
are just faster.
Have a hefty dose of, you know, adrenaline and just that live kind of thing where just, for some reason... you just play it faster. I don't know whether it's nerves or energy or whatever.
I think, you know, I think you're right. It's adrenaline, you know. Yeah. But you know, everybody seems to want to talk about how young you guys are. But there's like a long trajectory. I mean, Led Zeppelin. Those guys were about your age when they.
Yeah.
Made
every
that
band
first
ever,
record.
To be fair, every band ever was our age, up until the last 10 years, and then it got, you know.
Yeah, we're kind of entering a second dinosaur period or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because all those original bands are still out there, you know.
Well, so no, nothing wrong with that. But no. I think as far as, I think you should, you know, keep playing music for as long as you want to. But I think for
when you
young
out,
bands cutting through, bands that make it in their late 20s, early 30s, that seems very late to me to be, you know, just starting out.
Well, it would.
It is, though. If you look at it, though, if you look at the Jam or the Clash or the Stones or, you know, so many bands throughout the years, it's really since the 90s.
Although The Clash, you know, Joe Strummer came out of that pub rock.
He did, came out of the 101. The 101 or two made it, just a couple of great recordings before they broke up. But Mick Jones says in an interview he met Joe Strummer, and Joe Strummer was 21, and that seemed like an old man.
He was the old man of the band.
Which it by no means is, but...
Right, and Charlie Watts, same thing with the Stones. I mean, he was like 21, 22, and the rest of them were like 17. So what about school?
Yeah, we don't go.
We left school in October 2012. I left school when I was able to. Because I think once you turn 16, you can
do what you want, you know, in Ireland. Yeah. Right. But it was just getting so busy.
It's the same thing here too, but you know.
Yeah, it was just getting so busy.
Sometimes parents will step in where the
government
won't.
Well, they did actually.
It was our parents' idea. Our parents said, you know, it's, you know, that we were taking things, starting to take things more seriously. There was labels getting interested, and we signed with Rocket Management and all that. So all our parents just kind of said, you know, I think it would make more sense that, you know, you go off for Halloween and don't come back.
Yeah. So do any of them travel with you? Or
my dad came in a minute ago to take a photo.
That was your dad?
The man with the flat cap.
He's been there since day one. He's a manager.
Okay. So where would you guys be today if you weren't in a globally touring band?
We'd be just at home.
At home in Cavan,
in the equivalent of high school? Would you be in college?
Yeah, we'd all be in high school.
Josh would be in his last year. Yeah. So would Pete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, but here you are instead, in the city.
Slightly better.
Yes. The record's great. It's called Snapshot, and it's out on Island Def Jam. The band is playing tomorrow night here in New York at the Bowery Ballroom. They're The Stripes. Guys, thank you so much for coming and playing for us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
This is Soundcheck.
What in the heart of the city?
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.